Hare Krishna. Reading from my glorious master, Tokyo, 1972. To go or not to go? A few days later, Prabhupada sat on the Vyasasan and lectured. At the end of the lecture, he remarked that devotees should want to leave the material world and go back to Godhead. When I heard this, I remembered Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's prayer, Janmini Janmini Sure Bhavatad Bhaktir Hai Tiki Toi. Lord Chaitanya did not want liberation. He only wanted to perform devotional service, birth after birth. Thinking these exalted thoughts, I said, Prabhupada, we don't want to go back to Godhead. We only want to serve you. Prabhupada looked up. Don't make me stay here to accept your service. I replied, rather, you're already there, Prabhupada. I whispered to him. My comment. Prabhupada pierced my imitative allegiance to eternal service. He knew me. He knew I had not understood the depth of love for Krishna that a devotee who has imbibed the eternal serving spirit experiences. Only based on that love does the experience of decrying liberation have true meaning. A service for Bhurijan. Prabhupada walked each morning from his small rented Japanese cottage to the nearby temple. His cane indenting the rocky soil. When he entered the temple room, he leaned his cane against the wall and walked towards his Vyasasan. I followed directly behind Prabhupada to make sure his cane didn't fall over. If it began to fall, I would smile and catch it and stand it upright again. My comment. I derive great happiness from the simple service to Prabhupada's cane. I admit at times praying for it to fall just so I could catch it. I continued serving Prabhupada's cane throughout his visit, even when we later visited Kobe. There, Prabhupada would walk up the stairs to his apartment and drop his cane without looking back as he grabbed hold of the stair railing. I would catch it and carry it up the stairs. How satisfying it is to serve with affection. Let us enjoy. One day we sat with Prabhupada while Shyamasundar read him his mail. The first letter was from Devananda, a devotee who had joined his son after Prabhupada's visit to the Morning Star Ranch in 1967. Devananda later took sannyas and traveled with Prabhupada in 1970 from the west coast of America through Japan and to India. By the time Prabhupada received this letter from him, he was confused and had again started taking intoxication. Shyamasundar tried to explain the gist of Devananda's letter. Shyamasundar, he's saying that he had an argument with the devotee sitting behind him and explained what went on, but not much of it seems to make sense. Should I go on? Prabhupada, smiling. Yes. Let us enjoy. Shyamasundar then read the letter, which rambled on as Devananda described the details of a trivial and inconclusive argument that he had had with another devotee. With Prabhupada's permission, we laughed at Devananda's letter, and Prabhupada laughed along with us. My comment, the old saying, you've got to laugh to keep from crying, was appropriate here. Devananda was not the first of Prabhupada's leading disciples to fall victim to Maya, and Prabhupada had on occasion shed tears at his disciples leaving Krishna consciousness. Joking about Devananda's difficulties was a unique mood, and Prabhupada allowed us to see how Maya had made a fool of Devananda. Although Prabhupada had many times attempted to help Devananda, now thousands of miles away, Devananda was again taking intoxication. Prabhupada could do little but humorously place Devananda's example before his other disciples as a lesson. Who should surrender? Prabhupada left the temple room after class and made his way back to his cottage. A few disciples trailed behind. A cold rain fell as we walked in single file close to the temple building, watching water drizzle off its eaves. I walked directly behind Prabhupada. Prabhupada, still walking, said to me, "Trivikram can go to the Philippines. What do you think?" I thought fast. Prabhupada was responding to my request that we find someone to accompany Sudama Vipra Swami to open a temple in Manila. Knowing the nature of the Philippines, I didn't think it wise that a sannyasi go alone, and since Prabhupada didn't think much of my suggestion that Nanda Kumar go, he made his own recommendation, but he asked my opinion. "No, Prabhupada, I don't think he's the right person." "Why?" "With two swamis, I think they would have trouble deciding who would surrender to who." Prabhupada thought for a moment and said, "It doesn't make a difference who surrenders to whom." My comment: I was surprised at my own boldness in responding to Prabhupada's suggestion, but since he had asked, I had to answer according to my realization. Because both sannyasis had strong personalities and neither could be intimidated, there would be problems. Certainly Prabhupada could have reprimanded my boldness or simply overruled my objection, but he took my doubt seriously and later suggested a different devotee to help establish ISKCON in Manila. Prabhupada's final comment, however, was the actual philosophical conclusion. Quote, "It doesn't matter who surrenders to whom. As long as the service goes on and both Guru and Krishna are satisfied." Okay, we'll end here. Hare Krishna. Such weighty, simple and weighty talk went on. Prabhupada was very kind. Hare Krishna.